It's Wednesday. That means it's another edition of the Midweek Minute with the Superintendent with Dr. Michelle Eller from Sylacauga City Schools. Dr. Eller, good morning.
Good morning.
So glad you're here. This morning we have some special guests in studio.
Yes.
Miss Sharon McFarland, the Director of Educational Leadership for the Lake Macquarie East Principal Network for the New South Wales Department of Education. And we have Dr. Brittany Duncan, the Director of Special Education and Services at Roanoke City Schools. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. How are y'all doing? All right this morning?
Wonderful.
Good.
Yeah, wonderful.
Good. You have bright and shiny faces. I know you're so excited to be on the radio, especially you, yes. Sharon. You seem super excited to intro and outro some songs. So we're going to make sure that you get a part-time gig out of this before too long.
I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent. Amazing. And Dr. Duncan up in Roanoke City Schools, we're going to get into what's going on here kind of in our backyard in our neighboring counties. Dr. Eller, these two guests are pivotal educators in your world because yes. One of them you know from going through a doctorate program together at Auburn, yes. and their relationship specifically is very unique because they both went through a program together where right. they went, you know, Dr. Duncan went to Australia and now Sharon is over here in Alabama. Talk about this relationship and why we're here talking about it today.
Well, one, as educators, we're always learning and what better way to learn than to learn from other educators? And a lot of times we attend things in our own state, and so we only hear from other people in our state. So I had the opportunity in 2015 to actually spend 3 weeks in Australia. I spent 1 week in Tasmania and 2 in Sydney learning their educational system. And I was completely amazed with the work that was being done there even then, 9 years ago, and was able to bring a lot of those things back and implement them in my roles at the time. And so to me, it was just such a great opportunity when Dr. Duncan approached me and said, hey, I've been part of this LEAPS program with Auburn, I've gone to Australia, and now the person that I shadowed in Australia is coming here. We'd like to come see you and spend a day with you. And I said, most definitely. But I thought our stakeholders might want to hear from them because a lot of times we think in education that things are isolated just to us, or this is only happening in Sylacauga. It's not happening anywhere else, or these same struggles are only here, or the same similarities are only here. And I thought it would be neat for them to hear two different perspectives, one from a city school system not far from us, and then one from a system across the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess kind of turning it over to you, some of the similarities and differences between what we have in, I guess, in the United States specifically, and then, you know, the differences in Australia specifically, what have both of you learned throughout this entire process as educators?
Well, I think for myself, being able to visit Australia, which I've had the blessing to be able to do several times now, with the latest time being with Ms. Sharon, with her, is first and foremost, it's the love for children and doing what's best for children. You can see that throughout the schools in Australia and throughout the schools here in Alabama. You know, we want to do what's best for them at all times. And the support that the principals and the assistant principals and the deputies and the central office staff have for the teachers. And then the teachers being able to do what's best for kids and teach them and instruct them. I think that's the big, you know, overarching similarity that we see is it's a love for children and we want to make the best decisions for them. When it comes to some differences, there's of course differences in place in terms of how we fund our schools and the funding that's allotted for certain things where I've seen our funding is a little more earmarked for certain things. In Australia, it may not quite be as quite as earmarked for things, and so they have the capability maybe to use funding in the areas of most need, whereas us, we may have to find more creative avenues, writing grants, things like that, for additional support services. You know, I've been able, just in my role as a special education director, I had this opportunity the last time to really look at their special education system there and how they support students with special needs, and very much a similar system there is here, but we've taken back some great ideas. But just, you know, there's a lot of similarities and a lot of differences, and I know we'll get into those a little bit more, but just what stands out to me is that no matter, you know, what part of the world you're in, we all have that same goal of seeing our students be successful, and we'll do whatever it takes to get them there. Ms. Sharon, I know you probably
Yeah, Brittany, I think that's a really accurate description. I think my experience of international education systems is that every single one of us are striving to make sure that our students survive, but not just survive, to really thrive and become amazing individuals who all reach their own talent and potential. And that's an international thing. That doesn't matter which country you're from. It's not about a unique Australian perspective or a unique American perspective. So I love that. I love the fact that we're all really working for what is for the very best for all of our students, all of our babies in our care. But I also love the fact that we're all struggling with the same challenges. You know, we might call them by different names, but in essence, you know, the problems of education are not simple problems. Otherwise, we would have had all of the answers many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. And we're all trying to find solutions to the problems and the challenges. And the only way forward for all of us in a very smart way is to really come together and to understand what each of us is trying and make sure that we are, you know, taking ideas, as Michelle said, taking ideas from each other and being able to, you know, translate those into our own context in the way that suits our children best, but making sure that we are learning from each other rather than having to recreate the wheel.
So there's no cookie cutter response, or what's the word I'm looking for? There's no cookie cutter answer. Excuse me. I had to think about that for a second. To education in really in any capacity. I mean, from a city perspective, even to a county perspective, in this area compared to your area in Roanoke, to your area across the world. Mm. I mean, it's a completely different reality when it comes to boots on the ground, what the teachers and the students need, the demographics, the geography, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on. How do you as leaders think about how to make sure those challenges are sustained the best way possible and find solutions for them?
Well, I think you first have to know your audience and what you're dealing with. And, you know, each student is a unique individual. So you have to first know your population. You have to know your children, the children you're serving. You have to know their families. You have to know the struggles they have. You have to know their strengths. That's important. And then you have to build your team around that and support them to meet those needs. And to me, that's crucial. If you know who you're serving, then you've got to equip those teachers that are in those trenches every day with those students so that they can deliver the instruction the way that it needs to be delivered for those students to be successful. And that's a lot of planning. That's a lot of planning. It's a lot of preparation. It's a lot of training that needs to take place, because year to year, your challenges can look vastly different. And so what you did last year may not work this year, because you've got a whole new group of children in those classes. And so it's important to individualize instruction as much as possible, but you can't do that unless you equip the folks that are delivering it.
In what way do you see similarities or differences when it comes to struggles specifically that you are looking to overcome?
I would say that we have challenges around mental health, excuse me, across the whole world, particularly with COVID. And so we're all trying to make sure that all of our students are highly literate and highly numerate, that they can function in this world, and it's an ever-adapting and changing world, so we want to make sure that they're highly skilled, that they've got critical and creative thinking skills, but that they also have empathy and understanding, and that they can relate as good human beings. But part of that challenge is about making sure that while we're teaching the academics, that we're also caring for them as a whole child. And we're very aware, and as Michelle said, really knowing our families and knowing our students, you know, deeply, we're very aware that our students have some complex lives, and we need to be able to support them to develop resilience and to be articulate enough to be able to talk about how they're feeling and to provide them with the resources to be able to do that. I think that's probably one of our greatest international challenges at the moment.
You know, I think speaking to what Dr. Eller said, you know, it is so important that we build those relationships with our community members, with our parents, with our students, that we build that trust with them so they know that the schools are a safe place and that we are willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that they're okay. I think, you know, for us, the struggle is that we are now trying to play catch up in addressing mental health and wellness. You know, we all know that there has been a stigma around that. Right. And so making sure that, you know, our student body and our parents know that it's okay. We all have struggles and we can all work together to make it to where students feel comfortable, successful. They can talk about their emotions. They can talk about their feelings, and those things are okay because we're all human and we all have those. So let's find a way to address them and work through them and find strategies and skills that we can go about addressing them. And if we need to go further to find outside help, outside providers, you know, partnering with community providers and members, that we're willing to do that. But at the end, it goes back to building those relationships and making sure you build that trust.
Mm. We're, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say one of the things, a couple of things that we've implemented. One is a peer helpers program in each of our schools where our peers are learning from each other. They have specific curriculum that they go through, and they're learning how to deal with peer pressure. They're learning how to deal with disappointment. They're learning how to deal with all those different aspects, and they're learning from each other how to do that. And then they go in and they actually teach their peers some of these concepts. That's one of the things we've implemented across the district. The second thing is we have a very strong partnership with Alta Point Health. And Alta Point actually comes in and works with our students at the school. The parents can sign them up. You know, the counselor can recommend them for Alta Point counseling. Our student services director can recommend them for that. But that's been a game changer as well, because our parents don't have to try to check them out, take them to somewhere. They can actually pull them out of, you know, whether it be pulling them out of a class, pulling them out of PE, something of that nature, and actually work with them there at the school, and we provide a spot for them to work with them on. The only challenge is we really don't have enough of those therapists, because what we're finding is those numbers continue to rise of those mental health challenges that we really didn't see before. And so having enough therapists to meet those needs really is a challenge.
And you mentioned before we came on that you have clinical psychologists in schools in Australia.
Yes.
Talk about that for a moment.
So for a number of years now, a good long while really, we've had a clinical psychologist attached to each school, primary schools and high schools, to support students with their mental health and to support the families as well. And that's varying according to the size of the school as to how many days the clinical psychologist is attached. We call them our school counsellors. Mm-hmm. And they're a really pivotal part of the success of our wellbeing strategies in our schools. And wellbeing is a really significant focus in the New South Wales Department of Education, because unless we can get the wellbeing right, we can't get the academics right. We can't expect our students to thrive if they're not well. They certainly can't, you know, achieve success. So the school counsellor service that we have is a really important part. But coming back to the same point, it's a challenge around the resourcing of it. You know, how many school counsellors do we have? How many more do we need? We always need more. You know, great people are always in a shortage, but there's no doubt it makes a significant difference. We've also got a big focus at the moment on restorative practice and really just teaching our students to have empathy for each other and, you know, to have some understanding around, you know, what happens in life and an understanding of what impact their actions, positive and negative, have on other people. Mm-hmm. And that's been a really strong strategy for us that's producing some really good results.
It sounds like you're doing incredible, incredible work.
Yeah. We piggybacked off that with our pre-K through second grade. We're doing what is called conscious discipline. And that has really been a game changer in that building with those young children, because they're having to really stop and think, why did I do this? Mm-hmm. What should I have done? And what's the consequence for what I did? And so we saw our discipline really, really change in that building after implementing the conscious discipline training.
It's got to make you feel good as an educator.
Yes.
Yeah, I can imagine so. Before we wrap up, what is one thing that you have both learned in each other's worlds that you are excited about in terms of implementing at some point in the future from Dr. Duncan, what you've learned from going to Australia, and Sharon, what you've learned from being here in Alabama?
Can I tell you two?
Yeah, go for it. Absolutely.
I can't be restrained. I've seen some amazing things here in Alabama. So the first thing I just want to comment on is this really strong sense of community that I see in your schools.
Thank you.
You know, the sense of Aggie and that spirit being conveyed across all of the schools. That is so inspiring, and I love it, and I am going to do my very best to take something home like
she
that.
She loved our logos.
That's great. Yeah.
I love that. That sense of school pride all one. I love that. So thank you for sharing that with me. The other thing that I saw in Roanoke a couple of days ago that just really gave my heart such amazing joy was an outdoor education centre. And in New South Wales Department of Education, we're really focusing on high potential and giftedness with our students. And the outdoor education centre really gave me a chance to appreciate how deeply the Roanoke City Schools are supporting their students through high potential, and not just the academic domain, but through, you know, all sorts of gifts, and that really stood out for me. So that's something I'm going to take home, is a real focus on a range of gifts and high potential rather than just the academic.
That's amazing. That is so encouraging to hear, for sure, that we have that impact. That's great. Yes. What about you, Dr. Duncan?
And so kind of playing off of that, Ms. Sharon had the opportunity to speak to one of our middle school classes. And so they had the opportunity to talk with her and ask questions. And so they were so beautifully inquisitive about things. But one of the things we talked about later on was, do our students know what their talents are? Do they know how they're unique, going off of the, you know, gifted part of it? Whether that is academically gifted, or are they gifted in rebuilding a tractor engine, or are they gifted in agriculture and farming? But making sure every child knows what gifts they have, and knowing what they're great at, and making sure that they can verbalize those things. How important is that? Because we all have different gifts, and they all shine at different times, and we all unwrap them at different times. And that's okay. That's what makes a beautiful world, is that we're all different. And so just really making sure that we focus in on, do our kids know what their gifts are? Because everyone has them.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Man, that is, I love this mesh of two different worlds coming together. Dr. Brittany Duncan and Ms. Sharon McFarland, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Absolutely. And thank you, Dr. Eller, for bringing these two lovely women here to share with us all the great things that are happening in their educational worlds.
Yes, because we're all in this together.
That's right.
Absolutely. True. Absolutely. So until next time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And make sure Friday night, Legion Stadium.
Yes.
7 p.m.
Big game. Yes. Coming off of a homecoming win.
Yes.
And so we are so excited. Looking forward to that. You can catch all the game coverage SylacaugaAggies.com. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:30 on WSGN, and all the great things online at RadioAlabamaSports.net. Thank you so much. Go Aggies.
Thank you. Go Aggies.